For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
May the 7th, Shmuel Perek Chaf Test, Chapter 29. Vayik B'tzu Flishtim Esko Machaneem Afeka. And the Flishtim gathered all of their camp, all of their army, to Afek. The Yisrael Chonim B'ayin Asher B'Yisrael. And the Jews were encamped in Ayin, that was in Israel. Susan. And remember that David and his men were still part of Achish's group. They were part of the Plishtim, acting as if they were on the Plishtim side. And the last we saw was that Achish enjoyed or liked David's participation so much that he told David, "You're going to be my right-hand man in this battle against the Jews." The Sarni Plishtim Ovrim, the heads of the Plishtim, were passing by. Lameos, Falafim, hundreds and thousands, which means so you had the officers, those who were in charge of a hundred, those in charge of thousands. For David Van Ashov Ovrim, Pracharona, Im Achish. And David and his men were passing by last with Achish. Vayomru Sari Plishtim. So the heads of the Plishtim said, Moho Ibrim Hoele, who are these Jews? Vayomru Achish, Al Sari Plishtim. Achish said to the Sari Plishtim, Hello, is it David? Eved Shaul Melch Yisrael. This is David, the servant of Shaul, the king of the Jews. Ashehaya iti ze yomim oze shanim. He was with me for these days or these years. I have not found any problem with him. Miyom naflo, from the day that he encamped here. Adayom azet, till today. Means the day that he defected, he's been great. Vayitzit mo'alav sari plishtim. So the sari plishtim jumped on Achish. The Sari Plishtim said to him, Hashev es ha'ish, return the man. V'yashov el mekamo, let him go back to his place. Hashev kadat ha'osham, that you appointed him there. V'lo yeirei imanu b'milchama, he shall not go down with us in war. Now, do you want him to be a border patrol? You want him to attack some of the surrounding areas? Fine. But we can't bring him into this war. V'lo yeilanu l'satan, he should not be for us as a satan, meaning something that will mess us up, that will ruin us. Yep, by milchama and war, and it'll end up becoming part of the Jewish army. Uvameh Yisrael says, Ze'al Adonav, how will this man be pleasing to his master, meaning to Shaul? Halo Barashe Anashimahem, it will be with the heads of those men, they meant us. They're speaking of themselves in the third person. He's going to turn around and stab us in the back. Halo Ze David, Ashayanu lo but Macholo Slamar, this is the same David that the women said about him in their circles, Hika Shaul Balafav Vidavid Birivavosav, that Shaul struck down in the thousands and David in the 10,000s. This is the fourth reference to that statement that we've had in Shmuel. So the Achish's partners or fellow leaders were not comfortable with David being in their ranks. Now we had discussed, we were going to leave it up to David to figure out how is he going to pull this off, to at the same time be within the ranks of the Plishtim and yet not kill his fellow countrymen. That was going to be pretty tricky. But here, David is going to get out of it because the Plishtim aren't interested in him doing this. Vayikra Achish al David, Achish calls to David, Vayomer Elav, he said to him, Chai Hashem, look what the language uses, I swear by Hashem's name, Ki yashar ata, you are straight, v'tov be'enai, and you're good in my eyes, tzeiska uvo'acha, iti b'machaneh, going out and coming in with me in the camp, ki lo matzasi v'chara, I didn't find anything evil in you, miyom bo'acha ilai ariyom azef, from the day you came to me until today, uve'enai hasironim, but in the eyes of my fellow officers, lo tov ata, you are not good. V'ata now shuv v'lech b'shalom, go and return in peace, v'asa sera be'enai sanifishtim, and don't do evil in the eyes of the officers of the Plishtim. Vayomer David al Achish, David said to Achish, Ki me'asisi, what did I do? Uma matzasi, What did you find in your servant? From the day that I was before you, until today, that I will not come and fight against the enemies of my master the king, meaning the Jews. So what did I ever do wrong? Achish answered, said to David, Yodati, I know, ki tov ata b'enai, kemalach elokim, you're as good in my eyes like an angel of God. Ach sorry, plishtim amru, but it's the other officers of the plishtim who said, lo yale imanu b'melchama, he shall not go with us in war. V'ata, and now, hashkim b'boker, get up early in the morning, v'abe adonecha, shabo itach, and the servants of your master who have come with you, v'ishkamtem b'boker, you shall get up early in the morning, v'or lachem, it'll be light for you, v'alechem, you'll go. V'ashkim David, and David get up early, huva anashav, v'aleches, b'boker, they get up early with he and his men to go early in the morning, v'ashuv v'aleretz plishtim, to return to the land of the plishtim, v'plishtim alu Yisrael, the plishtim went up to Yisrael to fight the Jewish people. So David is spared the difficulty of being at the same time in the war along with the Plishtim and appearing to be on the Plishtim side and yet not fighting the Jewish people, or in fact helping the Jewish people. It would have been a very tricky thing to do. David is denied the opportunity to try to pull that off. Had he done so, had he been there, it would have been intriguing to see how he would do it. So far he's been very, very creative in maintaining the facade of being a Plishti sympathizer, but it would have been much more difficult in battle. But we have to presume that David wanted this because David saw in it the opportunity to help his fellow Jews from the outside. David is the king over the Jewish people. Shaul is still alive for another few moments. He's going to die soon. And therefore, David is still not the main king, but his star is rising, as we keep on saying, and Shaul's star is falling. And David has been chased out of Eretz Yisrael, and now needs to be in Chutz Laaretz with the Plishtim, but he is able to still help his fellow Jews. This war, where Achish has brought him into the war against the Jews, so I imagine, because there's no way for us to know, but I imagine David's intent was to be in the thick of the battle and to all of a sudden rally the Jewish people to defeat the Plishtim. This war is going to be the demise of Shaul. He's going to die in this war. Did David know that? Maybe yeah, maybe no. Shaul knew that. He found out from Shmuel himself in the last parak with the Baalas Ov, with the sorceress. But David, he may have known, he may not have known. He knew that Shaul's star was falling and knew his was rising. David's not going to touch Shaul, but he knows that Shaul does deserve to die and that eventually Hashem is going to have him killed. Is it this battle? Maybe it is. David, in thinking it's this battle, especially having been brought into service, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set it up, and now David is going to be in the battle itself. What could have very easily happened is that in the battle, David is not yet engaged in the battle, but he's in the thick of things. Shaul is killed. The Jews are leaderless. David all of a sudden turns around and attacks from within the Plishtim. Word gets back to the Jewish army that they have a leader in David who is battling within the Plishtim that rallies the Jews. They turn around and defeat the Plishtim. Under David, David emerges as the clear, outright king of the entire Jewish people. It would have been, I wouldn't call it a seamless transition. I wouldn't call it the type of transition that David wanted. He wanted one that was non-violent for Shaul. He didn't mind if it was violent for the Plishtim, but he wanted it to be non-violent for Shaul. So it would have been better had that not happened. But if it has to be violent, it would have been the most obvious and smoothest transition. It would have been very clear. Shaul is out, David's in. Right away. The Jews would have emerged unscathed. Shaul would have been removed. David takes his place. The Jews emerge victorious. What in fact is going to happen is that Shaul is going to be killed and the Jews are going to be routed. And there's going to be terrible bloodshed for the Jewish people. That's what's going to end up happening. Because this does not happen. Because in the end, Achish dismisses David because of the Sarnei Plishtim. So now David is left then with interpreting the events. Here he thought that Hashem is bringing him into battle for this to happen. But now, David is sent back. So it's only one of two possibilities. Either that means that Shaul is going to be victorious and not be killed, in which case, David acting in this capacity of appearing to be on the Plishtim side, but still really helping the Jews, would continue. Or Shaul would be killed, the Jews would be routed, and David still wouldn't be king. Really wouldn't be recognized as king, because he would still be in some, you know, some
transition.
What's that?
Transition.
No, he would still be in some
minority.
No. He would still be in this this hideaway away from the Jewish people. He wouldn't be in the main place. He wouldn't be able to take his rightful place. And that's in fact what's going to happen. So then David has to figure out what does Hashem want from him over here? How does he want him to behave in this ensuing battle? Now, what he doesn't know yet is what we're about to discover in the next chapter, which we're going to read presently, which he's going to return to Ziklag, which was the city in which his wife and he received as a gift from Achish. And that's where all the wives and children were of him and his army, his 600 men. And he's going to come back and discover that they've been all taken captive. That's going to decide his next move. What he would have done had that not happened, I don't know. As I'm not sure what he's thinking now, being sent back. Here I think that he thought that this battle is going to be where he's going to eventually emerge as the king of the Jewish people. That's not happening now. He's going back. I'm not sure what his next move would have been. But the next move is decided for him because he comes back and discovers all the women and children gone. And notice what happens. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam
Shehakol Nivra. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Parak Lamed, chapter 30. Vayihi bevo David va'anashav Tziklag bayom hashlishi. And it was when David and his men came to Tziklag on the third day. V'amaleki fashtu el Negev v'el Tziklag. The Amalekim had spread out, had attacked, had
overrun.
Well, there wasn't an army per se; it was more like bandits. They made a raid. That's right. To the south of Eretz Yisrael and to Tziklag. Vayaku es Tziklag, and they struck down Tziklag. Vayisrfu sabaish. They burned it down. The whole thing was burned down. Vayishvu es hanoshim asher ba, and they took captive the women that were there, mikaton v'ad gadol, from the youngest to the oldest. Lo himisu ish, they didn't kill any men because no men were there. All the 600 men of David were with David going to battle and then coming back. Vayinhagu, and they led them, vayelchu darkam, and they went off. The Amalekim took all of the women from the camp. David and his men came to the ear to Tziklag. Behold, it was burned in fire. And their wives and their sons and daughters were all taken captive. David and the nation that was with him raised their voices and they cried. Till they had no longer any strength to cry. These are 600 people who have no country. These are 600 people who are castaways. They are people who are on the periphery of society who have come to David. David has created for them a sort of small fiefdom, and they've migrated throughout Eretz Yisrael and then finally out of Eretz Yisrael and now with the Plishtim. All they have is this little town of Ziklag with their wives and children, and all gone. So all of a sudden, they have nothing. They have no country, they have no families. Nothing. So they cry. David, Nishbud, both wives of David have been taken captive. Achinoam the Israelites, Avigail, Eshes Naval HaKarmeli. Achinoam the Israelites, and also Avigail, who had been the wife of Naval HaKarmeli. Vatetzer leDavid Maod, and it was very painful to David. Now look what happens next. Ki Amru Ha'am leSaklo, for the nation, the 600 men, said to stone him. Ki Mara Nefesh Kol Ha'am, because the whole nation were bitter of soul. Ish al banav al banos, of every man for his children. Vayishchazek David b'Hashem Elokav. David strengthened himself with the only thing he had left, Hashem. David here finds himself with no nation, not even a fake nation, because he's been turned away by the Plishtim. No family, not his biological family, and not his wives. No people who are in support of him. So imagine where David was. David's star had been rising. Saul's star was falling. They're about to go to battle. David sees in this battle the ultimate opportunity where Hashem is now going to transition, move Saul up, put David in. David is going to go. His star has been rising, and now we're ready for that last push where he's going to be propelled to becoming the head of Klal Yisrael, the king of Klal Yisrael, to establish Malchus-based David, the great dynasty of David HaMelech, which will go all the way to Mashiach. We're right on the threshold, on the doorstep. And in a matter of a few days coming back from the battle, and then in just moments, he goes from that just being on the cusp of absolute greatness to having nothing. He's got no authority, he's got no people, no one is in support of him, everybody hates him, he is an outcast, he has no family, he has no nation, nothing. And the only thing he has left is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We encounter this all the time. A person feels they have nothing or they have very little, and it leads to depression, it leads to escape, it leads to all kinds of terrible behaviors. David turns to Hashem. This is then the last, or one of the last tests for David HaMelech. To emerge as the Melech, David has to undergo one last, I don't know if it's a test, it's one last proving ground, it's one last purification process in which David is stripped away of everything and only has a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And David does not waver. He remains completely and totally the devoted servant of Hashem that he stands for. Remember, that's his greatest midah. David's greatest midah is his absolute and total devotion to Hashem, which is why he wouldn't touch Shaul. He wouldn't kill Shaul because Shaul is the Mashiach Hashem. That's David's greatest attribute. Here, David is given once again the opportunity to prove his mettle as the great servant of Hashem. And he passes the test yet again. He does not falter at all in this. Vayischazek David b'Hashem Elokav. Vayomer David Elav Yasser HaKohen ben Achimelech. David said to Avyasser the Kohen, the son of Achimelech. That was the one who escaped from Nov. Hagishana miha ephod. Bring now to me the ephod, which is the apron which has attached to it the breastplate, the Urim and Tumim. Vayagesh Avyasser es ha'ephod al David. He brought it to David. Vayishal David b'Hashem leimar David asked Hashem saying, Erdof acharei hagedun hazeh, shall I chase after this group of bandits? Ha'asigenu, will I reach them? Will I catch them? Will I beat them? Vayomer lo, Hashem said to David, Redof, chase after them. Ki aseg tasig v'hatzel tatzil. You will reach them, you will save. You will be successful. David here is not willing to make this move without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's consent. David could have turned around and said, I need to regain my standing. I need to regain my position, my authority. I need to regain my following. How do I do that? Oh, I'll chase after the Amalekim, those who attacked, and I'll find them, and I'll save everybody, and then everybody will like me again. That's what David could have said. But David doesn't do that. David asks Hashem. He says, Hashem, I'm your servant. If you want me to be detested and hated by everybody, so be it. It's your show, not mine. You're the boss, not me. And if you want me to be totally alone, without any authority, without any country, without any family, nothing, then that's what I'll be, if that's what you want. What should I do? Hashem says, go after them. You're going to be successful. Vayelech David, who v'sheishmios isha shirito. David went with the 600 men that were with him. It's important to know how many people there were, as we'll see. Vayavou ad Nachal HaBesor. They came to Nachal HaBesor. Dano Sorim Amadu. And the Nosor usually means the remaining ones. Here it means the stragglers stopped. They were chasing, and they were those who were not strong enough to go on. 200 men are not going to be able to continue the trip. Vayirdof David, who ve'arbameos ish. David chased, he and 400 men, 200 stand behind. Vayamdu masayim ish, 200 stood behind. Asher pigru me'avor et Nachal HaBesor. That they were unable to cross this river. They were too weak to cross the river. Vayimtu ish mitzri basada, they found an Egyptian man in the field. David, they brought him to David. This man they found in the field was near death. He was suffering of malnutrition. So they found this man. He was starving. They gave him bread. He ate. They gave him water to drink. That wasn't enough. They gave him a measure of dvela. Dvela would be dates that have been made into a cake. They're kind of dried and then pushed together into like a cake. Ushnei tzimukim, and two, tzimukim are usually raisins. You have to picture much larger raisins than what we're used to, otherwise two is not really right. But they gave him some dried grapes. Obviously, if they are if they're involved in an army, they're not walking around with fresh fruit. So they have dried food that they have with them. Vayokal and he ate. Vatosh avrucho elav, his spirit returned to him. Kilo akal lechem v'losha samayim, shlosha yom v'shlosha leilos, he had not eaten bread or drunk water for the past 3 days and nights. Vayomelo David, David said to him, Lemi ato, to who are you? Where are you from? Well, not where are you from, who do you belong to? Who are you with? Ve'emi ze'atem, where are you from? Vayomer, he said, Nar mitzri anochi, I'm a young Egyptian. Eved li'isha maleki, I'm a slave to an Amaleki man. Vayazveni Adoni, my master forsook me, ki chalisi hayom shlosha, because I got sick 3 days ago. So as the Amalekim were running away, he just cast me aside and left me here to die. Anachnu vashatnu negev hakresi, we raided to the south of the Kresi, Valashel Yehuda, and we went to the cities that were with Yehuda, Val Negev Kalev, in the south of Kalev, Ve'Siklag Sarafnu Vahish, and we burned down Siklag. So here he's admitting to have been party to the group that David is trying to catch. Vayomer Elav David, David said to him, Hasoridani Alagudun Hazeh, will you bring me down to this group of bandits? Vayomer, and he said, He shavah li ve'elokim, swear to me by the name of God, intimiseni, that you will not kill me, v'imtaskireni bi'ad adonini, that you will not give me over to the hand of my master. You will not give me back to my master. If your word on those two things, v'oridcha l'agdud hazeh, I will bring you down to this group of bandits. Vayoridehu, he brought him down. V'inei tushim apanei chol aretz, they were spread out along the entire land. Ochlim v'shosim, they were eating and drinking, v'chogagim, and they were partying. B'chol hashalol hagadol, with all the great spoils, hashalakhu meretz, plishtim meretz, Yehuda, that they had taken from the land of the plishtim and the land of Yehuda. Vayakim David mehaneshef v'yado erev l'macharasam. David struck them down from the morning until the evening the next day. From the minlat mehem ish, no man escaped. He killed everybody. Ki'im arba me'os ish nar, except for 400 young men. Asher rakvu ala gemalim, that they rode on the camels. Vayanusu, and they escaped. We're going to come back to this pasuk. Bear this pasuk, Yedzayin 17. We're going to come back to it shortly. Vayatzel David yizkol asher lakum me'amalek. David saved everything that Amalek had taken. Ve'eshtei nashav hitzil David. David saved his two wives. V'lo nedar lohem min hakato me'ad agadol. They didn't lack anybody, from the youngest to the oldest. V'ad banim uvanos, all the sons and daughters. Not only that, umi shalo, and from the spoils, v'ad kol asher lakhu lahem, and everything that they had taken, hakol heshiv David. David returned everything, every last thing the Amalekim had taken, David returned. David took all of the sheep and the cattle, and they led them in front of the cattle. Vayomru, and they said, Zeshlal David. They captured everything, and then they put everything into this large group of animals, and then they were going back now to Tziklag, and they were announcing, these are the spoils of David. David now went from being public enemy number one to being back to absolutely adored by his men. Here, David had taken them down, and he had totally defeated Amalek. I imagine he was the main battler in this battle. This is still the great David, the great warrior. Let's not forget that with all his great attributes, David is, the Plishtim keeps saying it, he is a very powerful, very accomplished warrior. And he was probably the main one in striking down this Amalekite camp. And now they're coming back, and the men are excited, and they're saying, these are the spoils of David, as they're heading back to Ziklag. Yeah.
If Shaul was supposed to kill off all of Amalek and all the animals too, shouldn't have David killed off all the animals too, and not taken them as booty?
Two things. First of all, these animals were the ones that were taken from
theirs.
Right.
Okay.
Well, or not just theirs, also from the other people. Right.
Okay.
They weren't the Amalekite. Second of all, evidently, David was not given the task of wiping out Amalek. Right? It evidently, as we talked about at the time, that there, it's not something which you just do any time. So Shaul was supposed to have done it. He didn't do it. Somehow there's already a large group of Amalekim. It's not that many years later. And already there's a whole group of Amalekim. And it was not David's job to wipe them out yet.
David's also in the wrong Shevet.
Wait, yeah, but that the Torah never says that the Shevet has to be from Binyamin or Yosef. We just know that only from Rachel can you actually defeat them. But it doesn't mean he shouldn't have tried. But he wasn't given the task at this time.
Well, he defeated most of them.
Yeah, 400 got away. Right.
Out of how many?
It doesn't say. But again, we'll come back to that in a moment. Vayavo David el Masayim ha'anashim asher pigru mileches achari David. And David came back to the 200 men that were too weak to go with David. Vayishivum b'nachal ha'besar. And he left them in Nachal ha'besar. Vayetzu likras David, they came out to greet David, v'likras ha'am asher ito, and to greet the nation that was with him. Vayigash David es ha'am, David met the nation. Vayishal lohem l'shalom, and he asked them in peace, he asked them how they were doing. Vayan kol ish ra'uv liyal, and every man who was evil and without a yoke, meaning that they were not fearing God. Me'anashim asher ha'ku im David, from the 400 men who went with David, vayomru, and they said, Yana shalom halku imi. Since they, the 200 men, did not go with me, loni tame lahem amei shalom asher hitzalnu. We will not give them of the spoils that we saved. Kim ish es ishto v'espanav. All we're going to give them is every man will can have his wife and their children. But the men who are with David, the 400 men who are with David, the ones who did the fighting don't want to give of the spoils to the 200 who stayed behind because they were too weak. V'inhagu, let them lead them. V'inlechem, let them go. So they don't want to give of the spoils to these men because these men didn't fight. Why should they get the spoils? V'yomer David, David said, Lo sasu chen echai, don't do this, my brothers. Eis Hashem nasan Hashem lanu, everything Hashem gave to us. V'yishmar osan, he protected us. V'yitein es hakedun haba aleinu b'yodeinu, and he gave this these group of bandits, these raiders that came against us, he gave them into our hands. Umiyishma lachem adavar hazeh, who would listen to you to do this, not to give them from the spoils? Ki kechelek ha-yored ba-milchama, just like the portion of those who go into the war, uchechelek ha-yoshev ala-kelem, and the same is the portion for those who stay on the utensils, which means they're the supply lines, yachtov yachloku, they will split the spoils evenly. Vayhime ayoma hu v'amola, was from that day and on. Vayesimeha l'chok u'lemishpat l'Yisrael, he made it as a law for the Jewish people, ad ayom hazeh, till this day, that those who fight in the battle and those who remain behind and play a supporting role are both rewarded the same. Vayavo David el Tziklag, David came to Tziklag. Vayeshalach mehashalal l'ziknei Yehuda l're'ehu le'emar, he sent from the spoils to the elders of Yehuda, his friends, saying, in other cities. Hinei lachem baracha. Here is a gift, mishlal oyvei Hashem, from the spoils of the enemies of Hashem. Who did he send it to? Lasher beveisel, for those who are in Beisel, v'lasher beramos Negev, and those who are in Ramos Negev, v'lasher beyatir, and those who are in Yatir, v'lasher be'aroer, and those who are in Aroer, v'lasher be'sifmos, v'lasher be'eshtemoa, v'lasher be'rachol, v'lasher be'arei ha'yirach me'eli, v'lasher be'arei ha'keni, v'lasher be'charma, v'lasher be'char ashan, v'lasher be'asach, v'lasher be'chevron. So he sent to all these places. All the places that David and his men had been, as Rashi explains, where they'd been hiding all this, these several months, where they'd been in hiding from Shaul, and these people helped David out. Now he repaid the debt, and he sent to them a gift from the spoils that they got from the enemies of Hashem to thank them for their service. So Hashem has now enabled David not only to become again adored by his men, but also to be a person who can return the favor that others had given him in his day of need. He's able to return the favor, and the next step, of course, is going to be for David to assume the throne, which is now we're going to have to learn about Shaul's death, and then Shmuel Beis begins with now David being the only one who's really available to take the throne. Just now, David here also establishes a law, and this we can say is the first law that David establishes, acting in the capacity of king. He's not really acting in capacity of king yet because Shaul is still alive, and David is not yet recognized as king. But he makes it a law from this day and on. And when he does assume the throne, it does become the law of the land. This is David's law, that the spoils get divided up equally, whether you are in the battle or whether you're playing a supportive role. The Gemara tells us, Rashi says this in Chumash, that this was not really David's novel idea. He got it from somebody else. Who did David get this idea from?
Abraham.
Excellent. When did Abraham do it?
In the war
of the four kings and the five kings, Avram went to battle with 318 men and Eliezer. Some say the 318 men was Eliezer, but they went into battle. And then he defeats the four kings. He comes back, and the king of Sodom says to Avraham, "Ten li hanefesh v'rechush kach lach." Give me the souls, and you can keep all the spoils. Abraham says, nothing doing. I'm not taking the spoils. You're not going to say that I'm the one who made Abraham wealthy. Hashem makes me wealthy, not you. Not a Russia like you, king of Sodom. You're not going to make me wealthy. But then he says, Rak only the chelik of the na'arim, but the portion for the lads, and aner eshkol mumamre, only those who were David's friends, who were his supporters, Abraham's, excuse me, they should get their portion. Rashi says over there, they weren't in the battle. They were just keeping the kalim. They were watching the utensils. They were the supply lines. So Abraham said that they also get it. And I have no right to give away their portion. They're also entitled to spoils, and they can take. I'm not taking, but they can take for themselves. So Rashi says that's why when it says that when David established in Pasuk Chafei verse 25, it was from that day and on, but it had been there before as well. Abraham had also done this. David now took the law of Abraham and he made it the law from now on. Abraham had instituted it that one time, but it had not been kept since then. And now David says this is the law. And he establishes it. So David is acting in the capacity of Melech in a certain way at this point. It's something to think about why this would be the first law of David, which means it's the first law of Malchus-based David, of the Davidic dynasty. Of that dynasty that will bring Mashiach, that first law put into practice by David is this. Then when there's a war, the supporting players divide equally with the ones who are actually in the battle. Okay, we're going to go back now. This is a question which we'll address. Okay. It was clearly better because Hashem wanted it this way.
Obviously.
Your reason might be the reason why it was better. But it would seem to me that Hashem wanted David to go through the crucible of feeling that he's absolutely alone and proving, and then from there he moves up incrementally. Now the incremental movement is fast. Mm-hmm. He goes from being the absolutely hated by everybody,
mm-hmm.
to regaining the faith of his 400 men, then regaining not only the 400 but the 600, the other 200 with them, and creating shalom between them because there was going to be ill will. So he's doing what a king does in bringing together the people. And then, as you said, all the cities around. And now we're going to have to move beyond that, as we'll see when we get to Shmuel Beis, as David becomes and emerges as the king of the land. Now, going back to Pasuk Yud Zayin 17. So it says that David struck them down from morning till evening the next day. And no one got away except for 400 men. 400 young men who rode on the camels. Amalek is from Esav. And we know of Esav from the Chumash. Does the number 400
mm-hmm.
ring a bell?
Esav came to meet Yaakov with 400.
Okay. Vayishlach Yaakov alachim lefanav al Esav achiv. Yaakov sends angels to Esav to find out if he still hates them. And they come back and they say that we came to Esav. V'gam holech v'kraschal. He's also coming to you. V'arba me'os ish imo. There are 400 men with him. And later, when they actually meet up, Esav is there with his 400 men. He's brought 400 men to attack Yaakov. And Yaakov and Esav end up not fighting. Yaakov has already defeated Esav's angel, and they make up with each other. And then it says, after the whole encounter between Yaakov and Esav, it says, "Vayashav bayomahu Esav ledarko Seira." Esav went back on his way to Seir, to his home to Seir, and Yaakov went to Sukkos. Rashi over there says, "What happened to the 400 men?" So Rashi explains, they slipped away. They left. They left Esav. Once they saw Yaakov, and they recognized Yaakov, they recognized the greatness of Yaakov, they recognized the fallacy of Esav, they slipped away from Esav. So, Rashi says, they are rewarded later in history that when David defeats this group of Amalek, everyone is killed except for 400 men who escape on the camels.
They're rewarded for leaving Esav and hooking up with Amalek.
It's not the same men. It's unlikely that it's the same men. It's either Rashi. It's not the same. Can't be. I mean, it's very unlikely. They would have to have lived for. I don't know if it's 1,000. A lot of years. So it would have
been
what's that?
It would have been young men.
No. I mean, it's not impossible, but it doesn't seem to be the same. Rashi says, "V'dal meos isha shahalku imo, the 400 men who were with him nishmatu me etzlo. They slipped away from him. Echad echad, one by one. V'heichan par alahem akadosh baruch hu. When did Hashem pay them back? B'mei David, in the days of David." Shenema, as the verse says, Ki'im arba meos ish nar asher rochmu ala gemalim, except for the 400 young men, who is a good point, who escaped on the camels. So here we have a Hashem paying back for the 400 men who recognized the truth of Yaakov and the falsehood of Esav, and here they got away. They were not killed.
They were with Amalek.
It's not the same people. So let's hold on.
Let me finish one second.
So there is a merit. There is a merit that is within the descendants of Esav. There's a merit of 400 men somewhere. So Hashem decides that where is that going to get paid back? Here. Now, so Mrs. Lewis is asking, what do you mean? Why would it be here that they get paid back, right? It's not the same men. But why would Hashem choose to put it here that they're going to be paid back and get away?
And not the men that...
Well, it's within Esav. They are within Esav. It's within his descendants that they are... That there's some, there was some goodness in them, and they are getting repaid right over here. They're getting away.
Why not repay the actual 400 men?
Yeah,
it could be they were repaid in a certain way. Whatever it is, we're not saying this is only. We can't answer all those questions. We're dealing with Rashi Sanu Chodesh, so they were repaid here. So what we have to understand then is why is it that Hashem decides to repay them here to find expression for that goodness here. One other point is that it says that he struck them down from morning till evening the next day. Rashi here says a fascinating thing. Limudim heim amalekim. The amalekim were accustomed lilkos biyom machar, to get struck down the next day. Amalekim, they are used to that. They know what it's... That's typically what happens to Amalekim. They get struck down the next day. Kemoshe Nemar, as it says in Parshas Bishalach, the first time the Amalekim attacked, so what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? He says to Yehoshua, go out. Say he lochem b'Amalek. Go out and fight the Amalekim. What am I going to do, Moshe? So, I'm going to go up on the mountain with... Right? And he's going to go up with Aaron and Hur. But he doesn't just say, I'm going to go up. Machar, tomorrow, Anochi Nitzav. I'm going to go up on the mountain. So that was also the next day. So says Rashi, the Amalekim, that's when they get struck. They're used to that. They get struck down on the next day, just like with Moshe. So here too, it was the next day they got struck down. So what does that mean? So how do we understand these points? It's really fascinating here with Amalek. So Amalek is struck down the next day.
Next day from where?
Right.
From when they start.
Right, from when they start. So everybody, it's always the next day from someday, right? Okay. So except for Bereshit.
After sunset, but like on the same 24-hour period?
I don't know. I'm not sure what that means. So Amalek is they epitomize the absolute and total rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the notion that the world is being run.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely reject that, categorically reject that. They need to be killed out because they cannot accept that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that there's a plan and that the purpose of the world is to serve Hashem. Amalek, therefore, lives essentially for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about what can I get out of now? Because there's no purpose in life other than living now, enjoyment now. That really the culture that we live in today very much is an Amaleki type vision of things. There's no vision. There's nothing. There's no greater purpose. There's no grander reason for living. It's just to get out of life whatever pleasures we can get out of life and avoid pain. Everything is for now. We, in contrast, are always looking to the future because we know that this world, it's not just the future from in this world, but the world itself is only meant to be a prelude for the next world. It's only a preparation, it's a preparatory place for Olam Haba. We know that Hashem has a grand plan. Now, we don't second guess Hashem. We live also within the moment, which is that we do what Hashem tells us to do right now, which is to do the mitzvos. But we're not concerned if right now doesn't look so great, because there's always tomorrow, which is going to look better. Why? Because Hashem has a plan, and that plan is going to end up happening one way or another. So we may not see it, we may not understand it, we may not realize it, it may look bleak, but we know things are going to machar, things are going to eventually reach their fruition. That's what's going to happen. Machar is the antithesis of Amalek. Amalek doesn't have a machar, a tomorrow. Amalek is all about now. Olam hazeh, the world of now, is all that matters. There is no olam haba. There is no world to come. There's nothing about tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Just get what you can out of it now. So Amalek is struck down tomorrow. Whatever that means, tomorrow, but that's when he's struck down. The notion of machar strikes down Amalek. Of all the people, the characters that we come across in Tanakh, the one who epitomizes the notion of machar is David HaMelech. Because David doesn't get lost in the problems of the moment. David discovers all of a sudden that everybody hates him, and he's strengthened by Hashem. He doesn't get lost in it. He doesn't lose himself. He doesn't become despondent. He doesn't get depressed. He doesn't crawl into a bottle. Right? David is just as much the Eved Hashem when he's on top of the world and when he's on the bottom. It makes no difference. Because he doesn't get lost in the now. There's always machar. And David really represents that for us. Because as much as we know that there's a future, we hinge that future on Mashiach. Mashiach is Ben David. That's what the whole future hinges on. When in the bleakest of times, every Jew knows that now this bleak time, whatever it is not the way it's going to end up. Mashiach, Ben David, is going to come eventually. Maybe in my lifetime, maybe not. Maybe before things get worse, maybe not. I don't know. But he's going to come. There's a machar. And so David really is the one who represents that concept more than anybody else.
Didn't you give a class once about Amalek being able to attack if you're Badera?
Yes.
And these women and children weren't Badera.
That's
they
true.
Well,
you could argue that they were all Badera because they weren't in Eretz Yisrael. But again, I don't want to. Let's deal with the questions we have here. It's a good point. I'm not sure about that. Here, the 400 men get away. So David kills out everybody who he can get his hands on here. 400 men get away. That prevents David from wiping out at least this segment of Amalek. Were there more people of Amalek? I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe no. I don't know. But David is prevented from killing out all of these Amalekim. David, of course, would have wanted to, as the mitzvah requires, and he would have done it. But he couldn't. It was denied to him. 400 got away. The 400 who get away are representative of the 400 who did see the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Then in the encounter between Yaakov and Esav, they were able to recognize the greatness of Yaakov and to recognize the falsehood of Esav. Amalek as a nation is not able to accept the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they are unable to accept David HaMelech. It's not possible for them to do so. But even though they can't, at that time, at that moment of clarity, there was a moment in time when even the Esav people recognized Yaakov, recognized that there is greatness. I would have to say, even though I have no proof to this, if these 400 got away now, you would have to say, it seems inescapable, they must have realized the greatness of David. In some way or other, they realized we're dealing with a person who represents a greater good, a greater purpose. And in some small way, it filtered down even into their Amaleki brains that there's something bigger. Not enough to turn them into themselves people who will promote HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that much. But there was some epiphany that they had. I don't know if it was lasting. I don't know if it meant anything. But something that because of that they were zocha, they merited to get away. Somehow, these 400 connected themselves to the 400 men who were with Esav, who had that epiphany in the days of Esav. Somehow, they had that epiphany here too. And because of that, they merited to get away. Not necessarily forever. Amalek has to be wiped out. But for the moment, they got away. Because for the moment, they recognized there's more than the moment. There's something more. There's a machar. There's something that they got out of just by the encounter with David. What kind of encounter did they have? David was slaughtering everybody around them. Even that encounter with David had such a profound effect on these 400 men that they had a similar profound epiphany to what the 400 men had in the days of Esav and Yaakov when they saw Yaakov in his greatest and his talking to Esav in time of calm and peace. Here in the midst of war and everybody being slaughtered around them, they had the epiphany.
What's an epiphany?
Like a light bulb went on.
Okay.
Something hit them. It's a startling thing that David HaMelech could have this effect on people who he's in the middle of slaughtering, and even though they're Amalekim. See, you were asking, Amalekim? Why Amalekim? The point is, even Amalekim, when you met David, you couldn't avoid that sense that we are not here to just have a good time. There's a purpose to our being here. There's a purpose to our living. There's a greater good that's going to happen from this world. You couldn't miss it. Even if you were the lowest of the low, you were the Amalekim. Even they were able somehow in encountering David to be brought up to something. Now, I'm not saying that therefore they were not supposed to be wiped out. They're still supposed to be wiped out. But they were able to get away that day because they had that epiphany. So one last thing. Let's tie up one last thing. So then throughout this through this whole thing, David is faced with inner strife because the 400 don't want to give spoils to the 200. They say, hey, you didn't fight. Why should you get spoils? And then David establishes the law that no, those playing the supporting role are just as important as those who are involved directly. That attitude is only an attitude of someone who has a big picture, who's seeing the bigger picture. When you get focused on the very narrow vision that we see, then one says, hey, you didn't fight, you fought, was it? Right? The broader picture says you need supporters and you need doers. You need both. You can't function one without the other. And everybody's just as important as everybody else if they're doing their job. Your job is the job that Hashem gave you. And his job is the job that Hashem gave him. Neither job is better or worse. And no one can be judged based on what job they got. Mm-hmm. You can only be judged on what you do with the job that you got. Do you do it or don't you do it? That's the only thing you can be judged on. If they did the correct job in being Yoshev al Hakelim and protecting the supply lines, and you did the correct job in battling, then there's no room for this notion that the spoil shouldn't go to them. It's all one thing. It's all one thing. David sees this because David sees the bigger picture. David doesn't look with myopic vision at what's going on at the moment or at the time or at the place in front of him. David is the broader picture. And David establishes this as his first law for Malchus based David. That the supporting role is just as significant as the role itself. This speaks of David himself. David knows he's about to become king. And David knows as the king, he's in the thick of everything. Everything centers around him. Everything revolves around him. And David says, that doesn't matter. So the job that Hashem gave me is to be right smack in the center of everything. And the job that Hashem gave somebody else is to be on the periphery in a large circle moving on everybody else. So what? That's not relevant. All that's relevant is, am I doing my job? Is he doing his job? And therefore, everybody splits evenly. That's David's attitude, and that's what he establishes over here. This is therefore an expression of, again, the picture that David sees and that he represents. Now, we have only one more chapter left to finish Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Aleph does not end off in a place where it's easy to stop. We're going to move right into Shmuel Beis. Next week, Mirz Hashem, we're going to finish Shmuel Aleph. We'll probably, I don't know if we'll actually read into Shmuel Beis, but we're certainly going to, in 2 weeks from now, we're certainly going to move right into, Blaine and I will move right into Shmuel Beis. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.